Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. Let us find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We always need you, Lord. There is not a time that we don't need you, whether we're aware of it or not. But make us aware of that, Father, so we can appreciate you more. We thank you for this time with you. Give us what we need today, Father. I am your servant, and I yield myself to you, so I thank you for using me this day to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Just want to remind you of a couple of things. This is our special for the month of, tis it May already? Tis May. Like I said, tis it April? Tis April. Whatever. Hey, I'm working on it, all right? Get his sister a break. But our book, oh, Miss Vicky, how much? With so that make it what? Come on, add it up for me. Like I said, $12. Amen. Amen. Our book, Lawyer Up. If you need healing, lawyer up. Amen. I remember sending this book to somebody who, they said they wanted a book on healing, or they wanted healing. And so the brother that I sent it to sent me a text the next week, and he said, I got that book you had, Lawyer Up. He said, and I had my nephew or son or somebody said was facing some jail time. He said, I read it, and I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, you're his lawyer. I want you to go get him out of jail. He got off. Amen. So it works either way. Right? So all you homies out there that need, you know what I'm saying? Everybody needs a lawyer here and there, but Jesus is our advocate, amen, if whatever we need, but especially if you need healing, you need to lawyer up. Quit saying you're healed and saying this and that. Say what God tells you to say, amen? And for free, you get our Prophetic People Volume 1 book, and they are both, how much again? $12, both. That includes shipping. I should say shipping inclusive, like they say, but anyway. And then our broadcast, Strong Faith, it's on KDAYlive.com. It was this morning at 9. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. The guilty ones, you always know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and tomorrow morning at 9, so if you didn't get it this morning, get it tomorrow, and Wednesday at 9 p.m., so 9 a.m. so 1 p.m., we thank our friend Jackie. We thank the Lord, of course, but we thank our friend Jackie for keeping our broadcast on, so praise God. It's a good thing. So today we're going to talk about the glory of God, what things are done for the glory of God. And some of the things that we go through in life, we don't really understand. And I think that's part of faith. You know, faith, you understand some, you understand in part, you understand your part. And our part is to what? Only believe. Isn't that what Jesus told? He's told so many people. Told Jairus that. He said, fear not, only believe. All things are possible for those who believe. Amen. So we have to extend our faith in God at all times. So part of what we'll talk about today is going to be the Abraham brand of faith, because that is the brand of faith that we have been given. That's our inheritance. So whatever you inherit from God is for his glory and for your good and your benefit. But we inherit a certain type of faith. There's a certain quality to it. There are certain things that it is capable of bringing into our lives, and there are certain things we have to do to appropriate it and make sure we're in that brand of faith. You want to be in strong faith, amen, like the broadcast says, because that's the only kind we've been given. You have not been given weak faith by God. You are not to remain, if your faith that we have to tap into as believers. We've got to believe certain things in spite of what we see. We have to believe certain things in spite of how we feel, what we are told by the powers that be. I don't care who it is, if it's the government, if it's, you know, your boss, whatever. You've got to believe God's word. If it's something that's in opposition to God's word, you make the choice to believe that. And your faith in God is going to be tested. So don't think you can hop, skip, and jump your way through this kingdom and not have any opposition. Amen. This is like I always think about some of those little nursery rhymes, you know, the scary ones. The kind new age people don't want you telling your kids nowadays. You know what I'm saying? The ones that was real life. Like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood. You know, it was a wolf out there to be fearful of and be concerned about and be cautious about. Amen. And there are forces out here to rob us of our faith. But God has given us the power in our faith to overcome. I mean, the faith that we have, the Abraham brand of faith, overcomes even you. Your faith will be bigger than you are. Your faith will show you. Your faith isn't limited by your limitations. I'm going to say it again. Your faith is not limited by your limitations. You can look at your life now, what you believe, what you've always had, what you were told you could never have, who you could never be, what you could never do. So that's you. But your faith is bigger than you. Faith says you can do all things that God gives you to do. Not all things you want to do, but all things through Christ who gives you strength to follow his will. Amen. So the faith that we have been bequeathed as heirs of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham, and sons and daughters of God. You know, we get Abraham's faith because we can look in the Bible and study it. But it is the faith of the Son of God. Amen. So it's able to do, I would say, when you look at it on the natural side of your life, you need to have an example. So you need to see what your faith can do. So we have been given Abraham as our father and our example. Children inherit what they get from their parents. So we inherit his faith because he's the father of us all, the Bible says. He's the father of everybody who comes to God by faith. So we need Abraham's life to show us what it'll be like in the natural when you trust God. Amen. Abraham lived as a righteous man. That didn't mean he didn't make mistakes, but his mistakes were covered by the blood of the Son of God. It was covered by Jesus' blood before he was even sent to the cross because he gave his word he would go. That's why he honors his word above his name. Amen. The name was conferred to him after Calvary, but he had to honor his word above that because he said he was going to do it. And anybody who believes he's going to do it receives the benefit of him having done it. See, it's news to us because we're just now hearing about it. Jesus spoke this from eternity. Spoke this from the beginning. And so when we live in the Abraham brand of faith, you need to understand that God is going to tell you some things that he wants you to do and that he's going to do and do through you that are going to seem to be bigger than you. Amen. Now, don't go into this getting this fallacy about, you know, it ain't God if it ain't bigger than you. Come on now. We can all go and sign anything and buy something on credit, so that ain't bigger than us. You understand what I'm saying? But there are times when God, well, you know, if we had to be tested, I mean, the bigger than you is for the test. Amen. You're not tested on every little thing you believe God for. There are people that can believe God real easy for certain things. You be smart to write their names down and go to them when you're in trouble. Huh? I mean, that's what the body does. We support each other. We encourage each other. We help each other. Amen. There are things that, you know, everybody would remember we was getting started and Pastor Shirley prayed for everybody's finances. We all got a house. Everybody got their bills paid. Everybody had a car to drive, a new car. You understand? Amen. And it's still working. See, that was a gift God placed among us so we didn't have to struggle. That saved a lot of y'all from backsliding where you get to pouting because you didn't get nothing yet. It wasn't believing worth 2 cents and you knew it. Huh? You had more anxiety than faith. Listen, I'm about 2 steps from going across the street. I ain't playing with y'all today. Y'all say amen for Kenneth Hagin and Joyce Meyer and all of you. Gonna say amen for me too. Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, every amen is not an indictment against you. Amen is your friend. It ain't your enemy. You know, you see some of them people, the loudest ameners in church, you know, people criticize them. But you go to their house, them people got everything they need. Huh? You know what amen means? It means so be it. And then let me have it. It's mine. That's for me. That's mine. Amen. You go home, they got, I'm just praising God around here. I said, well, where you get all this fine china from? And then, you know, 72-inch television where they didn't make them. You know what I'm saying? They had one. The latest of everything. The best of everything. So don't stifle your amen. Amen. You can have it all before you leave here. But God puts gifts in the body of Christ. So that we all have different gifts. Why? So we can support one another. Each part of the body nourishes another part. Amen. And so we need to understand that. There's some things that the Abraham brand will rest in people and it will abide in people in certain giftings, certain strengths, all that kind of stuff. And that's why we're here to help one another. Amen. And so God wants us though all to get into situations where we can eventually start to believe Him for those things on our own. You're not to lean on people for the rest of your Christian walk, but that's to encourage you and get you started. So you can see, be encouraged by the power of agreement. You can be encouraged by the power of gifts and callings and things of that nature. Amen. So that's why we're here, to help one another. But we all are capable of carrying our own weight because of the brand of faith that we've been given. This is a faith that will not fail even in the face of impossible situations. And so we're going to talk some about the Abraham brand of faith and then talk about how God has to get glory out of certain things. That's why some things are tough for us. Say it again. Some things are tough for us because God is getting glory out of that situation. And we must let Him be the one that people look at. When they look at you and what God has done, they know that it's God. Nobody but God did that. Amen. So sometimes life is, you know, we got a little hurdles. We got some stresses. We got some impossibilities facing us. But it is all for His glory. It is for the glory of God. So I want you to turn to John chapter 11 and we'll look at these and then we'll go, but look at what kind of faith we're talking about here. In John chapter 11 verse 4, this is Lazarus being raised from the dead. You know, when his sisters called for Jesus, it was a healing that was needed. You got me? So now something else is needed. It says it was a certain man who was sick named Lazarus at Bethany, a town of Martha and Mary and Martha's sister. It was the same Martha that anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. but for the glory of God. Everything that God does, he gets glory out of, but there are some times he singles things out in our life, your life, anybody else's life. Lazarus had everything right going for him. He was a friend of Jesus. They knew one another. The sisters called when he was sick, and then it winds up being that he dies. But before he died, Jesus said, this sickness is what? Not unto death, but for the glory of God. So they're thinking he'll get there in enough time to heal him, but he doesn't. He says Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the same place where he was. Let me tell you something. God is so not in a hurry for stuff. You understand what I'm saying? He is so not in a hurry. And he wants us to be like him. Definitely not in a hurry. When your faith tells you you have something, you know you have it. Wanting it fast is not going to faze you when you know you have it already. It's like you got your new car sitting up in your garage and you keep saying, I want that car. I want that. Well, you got it already. You understand? So it says here, then he said that he stayed there two more days. After that, he told them, let's go to Judea. I said, what? His disciples said to him, do you know the Jews of late have sought to kill you, et cetera, et cetera. But he talks about, you know, walking in the light versus darkness, et cetera. And he said in verse 11, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going and I'm going to wake him out of sleep. When Jesus says you're asleep, it's because you have eternal life. You qualify for eternal life. So when we depart this mortal body, you know, we don't quote unquote die because we go into the next realm alive. Death touches us to get us out of this realm. Your spirit and soul must leave your body, this mortal body. We call that death, but you're really not dead. Amen. You just translate over. You just get a new suit to wear. Amen. You get more glorious suit to wear. In fact, I hear they're all like, for you women, they're like a size 2. I'll put 4 of them together and I'll probably, you know, so anyway, but anywho, but you know, we are translated. We just taste death. Amen. We don't stay in death. However, once Jesus captures your soul, once you are in faith, that faith translates into what you've asked for. That faith is stronger than anything that comes against you in the natural. So when they asked Jesus to heal their brother, he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's for the glory of God. That means God is going to get glory. I don't care what happens in the meantime. What happens between you asking and Jesus saying yes and you receiving his answer was he is not going to die. Amen. I'm just going to put him to sleep until I get there because I got stuff to do. And in the natural, it's going to look like he's dead to y'all, but he's just asleep in me. He's like the souls that were in paradise waiting on the Messiah to come. You know, the Old Testament saints that were waiting on those people weren't like tormented and stuff in hell. They were in paradise in a holding place that only God had the keys to and only God knew how to dispense those people out of there. So whenever you give your heart and your soul to Christ, you're locked up in God, period. And the devil the devil's claim on you is totally canceled. I don't care what you do. Listen, God can get anybody to repent. When the Bible talks about we are sealed by the Holy Ghost, only person can unseal that is who sealed it. It can't be broken into by the devil and your bad behavior and your lies and your cheating and all your stuff. You can't lose what he gives you. Now, you know, religious people say, well, you know, and people hear that and they just go and sin. They gonna sin anyway, sweetheart. Your sinning don't change the truth. It don't alter the truth. Truth is truth. People say, do you believe in eternal security? I don't know what you mean by that. I know we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. And God don't lose anybody he seals up. If you go to backsliding on your deathbed, God will come and present himself to you, and all you can do is say, Lord, please forgive me. Amen. You used to live for God and have all the privileges of a saint of God, and now you're like the thief on the cross. Honey, your status can be reduced by what you do in a heartbeat. But when he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, he said, Mr. Jesus, can I go with you? He said, listen, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Jesus knows how to get you over the finish line. Why? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can break that seal. When it has to get broken, the Holy Ghost knows how to come to you, talk to you, convince you that God will forgive you, put a spirit of repentance on you. He knows how to deal. He don't lose nobody. You believe once saved, always saved? Like I tell you, I don't know about all them slogans, you religious slogans you people have. Y'all deal with that over there. I know what my Bible says. But you know what? If you're sealed, you don't walk on the edge of disobedience. I'm going to say it again. If you know you're sealed, you don't use that as a license to sin and try to get away with something. You walk in the fullness of obedience, because you don't ever want to get over into that maybe category. So anyway, Jesus says he's asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up. Why? Because he has that power. See, when she prayed and said, Jesus, come heal my brother, he said, okay. He said, this sickness is not unto death. That should have made somebody's ears shoot up right there. Well, we ain't talking about dying. We talk about living, Jesus. What you talking about dying for? You'll know in a few days. And he spoke to them plainly. He said, in your language, in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. He said, but I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't here. Jesus is glad he died. Because God's got something bigger in mind. See, we looking at the bills and the house and the car and the this and the that. And God's looking at glory. He's looking at how many people can be won to him if he delays your thing long enough for enough people to watch you and make fun of you because of what you don't have. He sees all of that, folks. That's why he tells you, don't try to get vengeance. Let me have that. I know how to get it and get it right. Uh-huh. You wind up getting yourself beat up trying to get revenge on people, but I know how to get it and get it right. Amen. Amen. So just leave that to him. But, you know, there's a spotlight on us at all times. Sometimes it's bigger than other times. Sometimes it's one that we try to create. But the one that he's talking about is one he creates for you, where people will know that God did it, only God did it, and they can't get it out of their minds how glorious God is and how powerful God is. So we just have to let God have these things. Once he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. We have to trust him that he knows the timing. He knows the circumstances. He knows everything that's going to transpire in between that. He knows it all. And he's taking care of it all. In other words, this ain't just about us. I know that that's a kind of a deflating thing to don't want to burst your bubble, you know, so early, but we might as well get it over with. It ain't all about us all the time. In fact, once you belong to him, it's more about him all the time than you anyway. Now, sometimes he makes us a sign and a witness to everybody of his goodness, of his mercy, of his power. You don't know what he's doing. And don't say you going through something because of his glory, because you don't know that either. You just focus on getting through, because that's enough for you, because you over there in the corner hollering and screaming and nervous, and I ain't going to that church no more. Every time I go up in there, she be talking about me. I can't care what's going on with you. Could care less. I'm just in my Bible trying to teach the word. What I'm doing. Amen. But Jesus said he's glad for their sakes. It's for their sakes. It's for their sakes. It's for their sakes. While Jesus is helping people and meeting needs, he's also showing people who God is. He's demonstrating and teaching who God is. And he knows how to get a whole job done at one time. And if you happen to get caught in the middle of it, you come out okay. He's not going to cheat you out of anything. You won't be shortchanged. In fact, you're going to get that and more. Get that and then some. Amen. But he's got to develop a certain level of faith in these people so he can leave them in the earth prepared for what's to come. And sometimes, and he can do it all at one time. I'm not saying one is more important than another one, but these things have to be taken care of. And these people sitting here are all eyes, all ears, and they thinking about the last time he fed all them 5,000 people. That's why the crowds got so big. So he's a good one for blowing people's minds when they think they got God figured out. Thomas, here we go him again. He says, let's go so we can die with him. See, Thomas, he's just a carnal man. You know, he just confessed who he was. The rest of them felt like Thomas. They were scared to say it. He says, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Amen. He tells Martha, your brother will rise again in verse 23. She said, yeah, I know that. Here go Martha with her religious spirit. She's trying to recite scripture to Jesus, and he's the living word. Well, I know he's going to rise on the last day. You know, some religious people can't help themselves. Here we got a dead brother and man with resurrection power showed up on her doorstep, and all she can do is recite scripture to him. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. So he's preparing them for what's going to happen in the future so that they won't be alarmed when all of these saints who have been dead for hundreds of days start coming out of the tombs walking around fully alive again. You understand what I'm saying? And so he wants that kind of faith in the earth. Somebody's got to believe to that level. Amen. It's the same thing with the young man who was born blind in John 9. If you go over one, the disciples ask him, 9 in verse 2, I think it is. They said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither one of them sinned. Now, we know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that ain't why this boy is blind. He says, he said that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, when God shows up and you need healing and you ask for healing and you ask by faith, he operates on your faith, not on your past, not on your parents' past. Thank God for it. He said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So this young man at some point has been believing for his eyes to be open. Jesus doesn't do anything without anybody's faith. Amen. So he goes and he tells him because they are pointing him out as an example, Jesus comes with mercy to remedy the situation. See, this ought to shut up a lot of your Facebook friends who are always talking about somebody hating on them and they ain't got nothing. All they doing is lying on their Facebook page and think they making people jealous. Go get in your prayer closet. Put your shawl on. Whatever you do to, you know what I'm saying. Huh? But the young man would have had to have some faith working in order for him to obey. Huh? See, it can start out with Jesus inquiring with people, you know, or talking to them or pointing them out or something. But when he told that boy to go wash and he went, that was his faith in operation. You know, people always want to question, well, Jesus hid it here, and I don't see where he prayed, and I don't see where he, if you keep looking, you'll find it, because it's there somewhere. Nobody cheats on this faith thing. See, when people say that, they're looking for a way to get something for free, because they ain't believing. Cheaters. Verse 7, he said, go wash, and he went. That's his faith. You got me? So this young man Jesus said that it's not about sin. This boy has been held for God's glory. God's going to manifest his glory through him. See, when God decides to manifest his glory through you, sin is not an issue anymore. It's been dealt with. Amen. It's going to be dealt with when this young man believes Jesus and goes and washes his face. Amen. It's like many of us. We believe what we heard and we confess Christ. We repented of our sins. We got born again. It's the same operation. You got to show some faith in God. Amen. So let's see about the Abraham brand of faith, because that's what we've all been given. Amen. That's your, when you confess Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. The faith that you now have, when you put it in God's word, it is capable of doing everything that you saw Abraham do. Amen. So you need to know that, because you need to know what your faith can do. You need to know what you can believe God for and what you can't believe him for. And so when you start to pray and you start to understand what God wants to do, you understand your needs, what you need to have in your life, all of those things, then you must consider that you have to have some understanding of the power of the faith that you're using. Because this faith is not in the natural, it's in God. It's in the invisible realm. Amen. And it's not something that you can just take lightly and say, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. Because this faith works on everything. It'll work on a hangnail. It'll work on a nosebleed. It'll work on your bills. It'll work on a new building free of charge. Whatever it is you need, it'll work on it. Amen. If you can believe, all things are possible. Amen. And it's that kind of faith. So in Romans chapter 4, I want you to turn there and we'll talk some about this faith and what it can do and why God had to have it in the earth. This is very important because many times we quit on things when we're just getting started. We quit on what we say we want from God and we're really just getting started on what he has for us. You need to know that believing God makes you righteous. There's when you start believing God's word and taking him at his word, amen, that's your righteousness. When you start doubting, that puts you over in unrighteousness. But you can pick up faith again and get righteous again. People come in and out, in and out, in and out. We shouldn't, but we do. Sometimes things in the natural get your attention and you drop believing God. Well, none of that stuff over there is what you need. You've walked away from that. All of the failures, all of the fears, all of the sickness, all of the poverty, all of that stuff, when you start focusing on that again, that puts you over in the realm of darkness. And then you start doubting what God has told you already. When you were over there believing with God, you were fine. Everything was you. Just, it can happen at any time. I'm believing God. This is so good. I thank you, Jesus. I mean, yeah, da, 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 da. And then your attention. It's a matter of attention, folks. What are you paying attention to? What are you attending to? Sometimes if your problem is bigger than your faith, it's because you're looking at it all the time. I mean that. Whatever you think I mean is what I mean. Just leave it alone. Amen? You ever had a sore that was healing when you were a kid, I'm talking about? Your mother said, don't take that Band-Aid off of there. You pick that and pulled it, look, put it down. Look, it quit sticking after a while. You kept pulling up, putting it down, put it out there. And then you went to picking at it, started bleeding again. She went over, I told you. That's the way God needs to do us, but he's kinder than that. He'll let us figure it out for ourselves. But you keep picking at what the trouble is instead of focusing on what God says about it. And it tends to get worse. And we'll have ourselves believing things that we thought. You say, I thought I was further. You ever had that thought? I thought I was further along than this. Because you took yourself back there because you nosy. You need to quit minding God's. God, it's God's business to make it happen. That ain't your business. Huh? When is it going to happen? Well, go do something else. Huh? Go look in the catalog. Go. Yeah, I mean, I don't care what they only have catalogs no more. Go online, whatever you do when you need to get your mind off of wanting to accuse God of not loving you. He doesn't love me anymore. You don't know what love is. He's trying to show you. If you think love is coddling and hand-holding, I got news for you. It's like my dear late husband used to tell me, call AAA, that's what I paid him for. And the car's right out there in the driveway. Oh, Poppy, it wasn't all that. Listen, he out there. Got you. He got me. Yep. Now I see how Becky can drive with no brakes on the car. It's like I told her, I said, Becky, we don't do that around here, honey. We call people. I guess she said, I done tried that and they don't come. Three brothers and a dad and none of them going to show, going to make her drive. You can do this, Rebecca. Get in there. Get behind the wheel. Come on. You can do this. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. But God is like that. He puts you on your own, so you think. Amen. But he's always got the backup plan in case you can't make it. You understand what I'm saying? He'll never quit on you. He's always there to support you and encourage you. Amen. Like he did with Jairus when that friend of Jairus came up to us and said, well, she dead. Told you she is going to die. Jesus gone about your business. He don't need you now. You got me? Well, it was about what it was. You just read King James or whatever y'all read if you read something, but yeah. Trouble not the master any further. And that one of them is Jesus, go home. We don't need you. We got us a dead body. We got fried chicken and we got funeral potatoes and we got, cream corn, cornbread. Huh? And cake. We about to repast. You understand what I'm saying? But Jesus turned to him immediately and he said, he said, don't you get scared. You just keep believing. See, that's what he tells us. Fear not, only believes. It means don't you get scared. Cut it out. Straighten up. Amen. Let's keep going. You can take another step. Amen. That first step after you want to quit is the one that puts you back in faith again. That's important. Why people put it off almost forever, I have no idea. Well, yes, I do. But, it's because you're looking at the natural. The natural makes us afraid. Keep your eyes on the Word. Keep your eyes on. Keep remembering what God told you. The Holy Spirit is there to tell us. He reminds us of the Word all the time. Amen. If we'll listen. Amen. If we quit listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll send somebody, a human, to tell you. Amen. So, and you can argue with people because you've been arguing with him all along, ignoring him. I can't still have that. I know I prayed for that, but it's too late. Too late for what? There's no time where God is. See, there's no clock. See, what we're doing is talking to somebody about time, and they don't even know what we're talking about. Well, time is for us to do earth things. God wants to get you involved in supernatural things. He's trying to make time stand still for you. He's trying to bring eternity over into your lap where you live so you can enjoy life for a change. Instead of worrying about what time it is, how much time I got, how much longer, when's it going to happen? He wants to get you off your clock and onto eternity where there is no clock, where things happen all the time immediately. Hello. The beauty of it is he has given it to us already, but he will work with us at our own pace. See, the amount of time it's taken really largely depends on us and how fast we can believe God to do things. You start confessing you have it now all day long and see how long it takes. But see, we're not willing to invest the time in it like that. We drag it out many times. If you say, I have this now, guess what? It's now somewhere. It'll be now where you are if you persist in it. God's not on your clock. He wants us to have these things. Amen. And he will get the glory out of it. So in Romans 4:19, we see here something that is characteristic of the Abraham brand of faith, that we must obey this if we're going to be true to the brand. That's what you're living right now. You are living to be true to the brand and not pick up something else bootleg and call it the right kind of faith. and try to make it work and try to make it pull miracles in you. You know, the stuff some of us want, man, it takes Abraham and his daddy and his granddaddy and all them other folks combined to get this stuff we be looking for. My goodness, we want a miracle on top of a miracle on top of a miracle. And God, if you can work that out, then I got something else here. I want you to pull on top of that. Get the whole family saved in one day. We're going to have a big reception, big party for them when they all come in. But could you do it all at one time? And he could. But can you believe? See, the reason you want it that fast is because you in doubt city right now. Just a thought. It's a thought. Okay, so Romans 4. Verse 19. It says here, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's Abraham's faith in a capsule, in a nutshell. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him as righteousness. Righteousness by faith has to include a certain number of elements. The therefore lets you know it had to include a number of things. Not just, I believe God, I believe I receive it when I prayed and I have it. That's good to start. But it's a seed right now when you do that. So that seed has to grow. It is a push up through some obstacles. Namely, what you see, feel, think, and hear. So your faith has to survive inside of your spirit and push up through your thoughts, your raggedy confession, your limitations, your physical man, how you feel today compared to yesterday, how you think you might feel tomorrow. Your faith has to fight a lot of stuff, but it's possible. Abraham did it. He didn't have the covenant we have. Amen. But it's his faith was capable of all these things. So what does strong faith consist of? Amen. It has to do more with what you give your attention to and what you consider than it does anything else. Let's say that again. Strong faith has more to do what you consider and what you give your attention to than anything else. Remember Ernest Angley scared those reporters that wanted to pick at him that day. They said you talk about heaven all the time. You like you know heaven. He said, heaven's more real to me than you are. And they got up and ran out of there. Amen. Because he was speaking by the Holy Ghost. And they knew they had crossed the line. But that's where God wants us to be, where heaven is more real to us than what this thing is down here that we're living in temporarily. You got to know it's temporary. You can't set your affections on stuff down here. Now, you can enjoy life without setting your hopes and dreams and, I got to have this. You ain't got to have nothing. All you need that's necessary for you, you already have. You've got the Spirit of Christ living in you. Out of that Spirit will flow everything else that pertains to life and to godliness. What more do you need? So Abraham, it says here, he considered not his own body, now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 19. Weak faith considers all of those things. It considers your physical limitations. It considers your bank account. It considers your, you got me? Now, what does that word consider mean? Doesn't mean I can't think about it. You know, if I did told you that, that would just be too mean. You know, it's because it's not true, not really. But when you consider something, that really means to look on, to visit, look closely at, take heed. So when he would think about his body, he would just put it out of his mind. Consider it means to hold it in your thoughts and incorporate it into your confession, incorporate it into your believing, incorporating it into your desire. See, it doesn't mean the thought won't come to you. The thought of doubt will come to anybody. But you can't incorporate it into what God has told you is going to happen in your life. You can't make that a part of it. So what do you do if the thought comes to you? Abraham thinks, gee, I'm too old. And they said that when God came to him and told them what he was going to do. Am I going to have a baby now that I'm this age? See? They didn't understand that there's no age where God is. There's no time where God is. God's just doing stuff and getting it done. And that's what he expects us to do. Just do stuff and get it done. Amen? Why? Because he said so. He said he's going to do it. And that's all we have to focus on. It doesn't matter how much money I have in the bank. God said he's going to do this. And I believe God. I don't believe what I see. I don't believe. And go to meditating on the fact that God has told you that and what is true. You exchange a lie for the truth. And you can do that. Why? Because you're born of his spirit. Sinners can do that to some degree. They're just, I just believe God is good. Bingo. That's the one truth you got to stand on. Stand on that and get healed and go home and go back to sinning again. How's that? They do what they know. See, you cannot take natural situations and circumstances and incorporate them into your thinking about the things that God is doing in your life. When the Bible says only believe, that means kick everything else out that does not line up with God's word. Like with Jairus, only believe meant don't pay no attention to him. Who are you going to believe, Jesus? Or are you going to believe these deadbeats that have been sitting up there while your daughter's been dying? They've been at that house for I don't know how many days now. And she ain't getting no better. She getting worse. This is better walking along with you. You got me? Even though it hasn't manifested yet, he don't know much about Jesus. In fact, he's been picking on him the whole time he's been coming to that synagogue preaching. So, he would feel real good if he had been Jesus' friend all along. Go figure. That just shows you Jesus don't heal you on friendship. He heals you on faith. Do you still believe? Huh? This is true. The woman with the issue of blood, he could have cared less who she was, what she looked like, whatever. She just took her healing. Why? Because she believed she could get it. She let things stand in her way. She had worked her way through that. Now, I don't believe that came to her instantly, because the Bible says she kept saying to herself, if I could just do this, if I could just do this. What do you keep saying to yourself? She See, the only faith that'll get a healing is the Abraham brand. You got to not consider it. Oh, you know, your disease is getting worse. These symptoms are worse. I'm still healed. I'm not healed based on what I see, feel, what your numbers say, I'm healed anyway. Amen. If you just got to collapse and, oh God, go for it. God will help you. Amen. He's a loving and a forgiving God. We know we're not always expecting bad news, but sometimes it comes. We would like it if when we're believing God for healing, we keep better and better and better every day. And that happens for many people. But in the event it does not, and it, like Lazarus, his turn the other direction. But Jesus still showed up. Why? Because he had given his word. When those girls asked, they asked in faith. They had quit on it when he died. What would you do? If you saw Abraham, where's yours? Do you understand what I'm saying? But Jesus was holding on for them. He knew they needed to see something so that they could believe further than what they were believing. That's the other thing about the Abraham brand of faith. It always takes you further. See, we think this is impossible to get Isaac born. But what you going to do when God says kill him? Ooh. Well, I thought I was home free on this faith thing. No, Abram, there's much more to do yet. See, this is what God tells all of us that. You can't get 2024 results with 1999 faith. You got to bring your faith up to speed, folks. We all got to dig deeper. All got to dig deeper. So when you consider, it's like adding up something in your equation. You know, you can't add in your unbelief into your faith. I'm healed, but. I'm healed and. There's no ands, there's no buts in the healing equation. You're just healed, period. End of discussion. You're healed. People try to question, well, why do you still have this? Honey, I don't know. All I know is what God told me. He said, I'm healed and I'm healed. And I'm healed now. Well, what about you? Well, why don't you pray and ask him? I'm not even curious about it myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to get to that point where you see trusting God means take him at his word. What did he tell you? By his stripes, you are healed. Amen? So you're still healed. That's his beginning word, and that's his final word on it. You're still healed. You're not healed but. You're not healed and. You're not healed, and when is it coming? You're either healed or you're not. You have to accept it just like that. But every time I think like that, I feel like I'm lying. Yeah, I know. Welcome to the club. You'll get over it. Huh? When you tell your husband that wasn't your charge on that credit card. Act like you don't lie. And you beat it back to the store and returned it and hid the next invoice. Now I'm giving away female tricks. Okay, I had to stop that. Yes, Poppy was too happy back there, so let him get happier now. Amen. See, Abraham had a son already. He had Ishmael. Ishmael was a product of his natural ability. God not got no glory out of that. God said, you got to go back and do it right. Amen. There are many times we have to face some of the same things over again. Why? He's building our faith to be stronger than it was the last time we had to consider that. And the last time we had to face that obstacle. I know, we don't like that. But that's God's business to build our faith. He knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And he doesn't have to give us any kind of reason for nothing. He's kind enough sometimes to do it, though, because he loves us. But if he tells us too much too soon, we'll quit on it. I don't know. That don't sound right. That don't sound like God to me. It's 100% God. Abraham and Sarah had to do a do-over because they didn't do it right the first time. They just made up how they were going to get this from God, like God couldn't do it. What does it say in Hebrews 11? It says that Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? The why is very important. See, we read that and say, well, I'm not interested in all that. Yes, you are. If she can get all that, you can get a bill paid. Why don't you read on and see what she had to do to get it? It says she judged God faithful who had promised. In other words, she took him at his word. And then when she added up her age, her husband's age, she was barren all her life, the deadness of her womb. He's impotent. She added all that up and she said, oh, that don't mean nothing. He's faithful. Huh? How'd she judge him to be faithful? She looked at where she was when she started, where she is now. That's part of it. Who were you before God found you? Huh? And where are you now?
Well, I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I was.
Shut up. You know the religious people come in on cue, don't they? Woo! Spare me. Now we want to hear that testimony about how you were shanging from the chandeliers, high as a kite, with somebody else's husband. And an unidentified person. You understand what I'm saying? Come on now, y'all. God brought dignity to our lives. Taught us how to behave. Well, he's working on it. You understand what I'm saying? How to believe him in spite of testing, trial, temptation. How to come out of things. How to get delivered through the word. Trust him through the word. So Sarah looked at all that and she said, you know what? She said, God has never failed us in anything. And if we could believe him all these years, we can continue to believe. She said, I'm going out on top. I'm not going out doubting. I'm not going. It was a simple matter of a decision. Do we continue to trust him? Do we continue to believe him, even though what he is saying seems impossible? From where they started, where they are now was impossible at one point. Amen? Abraham had a little bit when he left his father's house, but his father had died. Lot's dad was dead. There was just a little cluster of them left. By the time he got down to Canaan or Haran, where he set up an altar to God, he made up his mind he's going to stick with God. You start worshiping, that means you're going to stick with God. Amen? And he already had multiplied cattle and herds. As he went along with God, God increased him every step he took. So they would be really foolish to quit on God now. Just like we would. You know, you take your little inventory. It's like people say, quit. I said, quit and do what? You know, if I go into somebody's I wouldn't dare insult people by trying to show up at a hospital and work. Though I would be quite capable. Just wouldn't have no papers. They said, "You sure you show me some evidence? What you got? What you need? What you got?" I look at half the equipment. I say, "You can do that now? Y'all do that?" Whatever. But you know what I'm saying. You, where do preachers go? Nowhere but somebody place to preach. You can't do nothing else. So quit and do what? You don't quit God. He ain't easy to quit. Amen. He like the craziest boyfriend you ever had. And then some. Amen. The ones you real scared of said, "Nah, I think I'm going to stick with him just cause." Can't think of a reason, but yeah, just cause. Ain't a good time to leave right now. Whatever. But you don't, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He knows how to lure us back to him, draw us back to him. I don't care how hard times get. He knows how to push your buttons and draw you back. That's why he can make that claim. Amen. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Well, suppose I leave. That ain't even a consideration, honey. You don't leave nobody. And go where? You got a big sign on your back that says, "I belong to Jesus." In other than what that says to the devil is, "Kick me." Because you get so beat up and kicked around by the devil, you come screaming back. "Here I am, Lord." Blubber and slobber in the first church you see, even a dead church, you'll go in there and bring some life. "I'm not picky. I just got to go somewhere. I just really feel like I got to go, so I got to be in the house of the Lord." I say, "Yeah, I know. I know. So anyway, it says here, Abraham was told that he would be the father of a multitude. At the age that he was told that he was going to have a son with his wife now. Ishmael was born to the maid. Man, now where'd they get a maid from? Yeah, he disobeyed and went to Egypt. So we get a disobedience package. Huh? The fact that she was a maid wasn't so bad, but she was an Egyptian too. Amen? They disobeyed God to get to Egypt. They just went their own way. God told him when he left Haran, left Ur of the Chaldees, he said, "If you will go, you go to a land that I tell you where to go. You don't go anywhere on your own. I tell you where to go." So he goes down to Egypt on his own. It's amazing when he returned from Egypt, the land was fertile that he got to. How do we know that? His cattle had food. And continue to increase and expand. Amen? So the famine wasn't, it's never as bad as you think it is when you're in a hurry for God to do something. Well, say it again. You get in a hurry for God to do something, it's never as bad as you think it is. There are some people that are on oxygen. It's difficult for them to breathe. But God says, "I will sustain a man on his bed of languishing. I will sustain you on your sick bed." So he can make your sick bed comfortable so that you can be sustained as your faith grows. Just don't lay there and be mad at God and keep saying it's not going to happen. Lay there and believe God. It's the same thing with anything. If there's pain, if there's uncomfortable discomfort, if there's lack of provision, he will sustain you. He just doesn't want us to quit. Sometimes our faith gets us into some, or lack of, gets us into some perilous places. might take a minute for him to get somebody to know where you are and come retrieve you, but he'll do it. Amen. He won't see us suffer beyond. We always think the worst case scenario, you know? You get you start looking in the mirror and see, I didn't notice this. What's this over here? The first thought comes to you is cancer. It ain't cancer. It's getting ready to go away. You quit picking at it. You understand what I'm saying? We get that. We have that worst case scenario mentality all the time working on us. And if you focus on that, if you feed that, if you consider that, if you keep that in your mind all the time, it's going to start to grow. It'll make it more real to you. The more you think about things, the more real they become to you. That's why it's good to consider God all the time. Consider what his word says. Consider he wants you blessed. He wants you sick. He don't want you cursed. There's nothing good about sickness. There's nothing good about pain. Why would God be the author of that? That came with the curse. You're not cursed anymore. You're blessed if you'll let him bless you. He'll bless you because you believe him. Amen? And don't change your mind. Don't change your confession. Yeah, the devil is going to come to you and try to get you to change. He'll try to twist your arm, get you to say something different. But your confession always is, you're healed. Amen? Now, I don't care if they done wheeled you into whoever's putting you away. You know what I'm saying? You still healed. It's your confession, if you can think it all. There's somebody that went, I forget one of these stories, you know, church people, but he went to, they had told him that somebody, a church member, a deacon or somebody had died or something like that. He was in the morgue. And so he said he looked down at him, and as he was leaving, he just touched his foot and said, you know, we'll see you on the other side. And the guy sat up. See, he's one of them people that probably never changed his confession. You understand what I'm saying? He was healed, he was healed, he was healed, he was healed, he was healed. Devil, you twist my arm. You try to cause me pain. You try to get me to change my confession. Pain is just trying to get you to change your confession. If you ride it out and you stick with God, he can even deliver you out of that. You know, we give the devil's nonsense too much credit. Go to God and say, God, you know what, God, this pain is getting kind of, you're going to have to do something for me here. And guess what? He will. He will. Every single time. He will. He just wants us to come to him and not try to make our own way. Don't try to be your own deliverer. He gets no glory out of you delivering yourself. But let him have it, and he'll show you, yeah, I took your pains. I carried your sorrows. I took it all already, and you are healed now. Amen? Amen. So we're all healed now. Well, Father, we thank you. Amen. That you are a good God. Everything you do is good. Everything you do is good. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Now, some of you are dealing with pain. And what God is saying, if you would not focus on it, amen. Some of us, we have pain and we anticipate having to endure it when we're comfortable. You ever been there? You comfortable right now and you thinking about what's going to happen in the future when you feel it again? Quit doing that. Consider not. Amen. Let your future be pain-free. God, I thank you for a pain-free future. You took my pains already. Carried my sorrows. We give it too much power in our thought life sometimes. Amen. But we don't have to. You can quit. You can stop. Then consider not. Consider what you refuse to consider, you have already overcome. We say it again. What you refuse to consider, you have already overcome. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Because God has delivered you from it. What he paid at Calvary was enough to take care of everything you need. You're not lacking in anything. Your faith isn't too small. You have the Abraham brand. Use it. It doesn't consider. Amen. So when you use the right brand, you won't consider these things. Say it again. I said, when you use the right brand, you won't consider these things. Strong faith focuses on God's ability, not ours, and not our weakness. It focuses on God's ability. Amen. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. You certainly are worthy to be praised. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody needs prayer, I'll pray for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Healed. Amen, amen, amen again. It is so decreed. Amen. Praise God. Amen.